a heavy message again to hear from Tim and the Imers and their life and what they've been going through, and we've been praying for that. And along with the topic that we study today, it just it adds to the heaviness of my heart. I've been sick for quite a while now with just a cold, the doctor says. Nothing I can do. And some of you have had this too, but it's a cold that lingers, and it's a cold that makes you very weak. I woke up today with my body shaking. I think some because of my cold, and I think some because of the text that I have to teach today, with fear and trembling. Not because of the text itself. I feel pretty confident in what I've studied. But as we as elders, as your leaders, have spent time praying and discussing this topic, Steve and I having more dialogue than we've had over any other subject, we've really put some thought and prayer in this, because we are very aware that there is many of us who have encountered the subject of divorce in our lives. And it's not our intention to bring up things of the past that may bring pain and hurt. But I'm so grateful to our Savior as we study this passage in Mark 10, that the key verse in this is that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Because in any of the hurtful, painful situations that we go in, the hope of the gospel always brings to mind and centers around everything that you and I experience. As I said, I'm not without pain in this area as well. A little bit of my background: I have grown up in the church all my life. We have had a very godly family. And back in the 60s, in the church, divorce was something very rare. And at 19, I was experiencing that because my older brother at 29 was choosing to divorce his wife. And I just had it on my heart, not knowing what I know today, to go to my brother and try to encourage him to think this through. And his words to me were, and I'll never forget this, we sat out in the parking lot one evening at our church, and he said to me, "Chick, you just don't understand." And I didn't. 40 years later, trying to walk with God and understand his word, I believe I can say today, I do understand. And if I knew what I knew then, I could have shared with my brother, "Dave, you don't understand. What God has intended for us as a people." So as we get into the text, it's something that I present trying to be very delicate and tender. As I said before, we and my fellow elders and leaders have put much prayer in this. I believe at the end of my sermon, my desire is to bring much hope to this subject. So again, if this stirs up some things of pain, we have God's word and his heart on this. So please stay with me. If you want to turn to Mark 10, we're going to start in verse 2 to verse 12. This is a subject that we can't just pull out from this passage and have all there is to say about divorce. In our study, a number of years ago when we took 2 years here on a Saturday to study God's Word. How do you get into God's Word and study it? There was one section that we talked about, which was systematic theology. What does that mean? What it means is that when I study a passage, I can't just take it out of context. I have to leave it in the context and study, but I also have to understand elsewhere what God has said about a particular subject. So when we come to the subject of divorce, you can't just study this passage. You have to hear all that God has said about it. God, in His wisdom, has not put in all the subjects in a row and say everything about it on one page. So we have to do diligence as we study a subject like this. I'm not going to give you all that there is that God has in the subject, but I believe what God is saying here in Mark 10 will be sufficient enough for us to understand God's heart, because that's what we're after. I don't want to have you think that I'm up here telling you my ideas. I certainly can get in the way of that. But the thing we want to do here at Hope is that we encourage each teacher to study this very thoroughly and check it and double check it so that we are teaching something we believe is accurate and true from God's heart. That's our attempt for us to do today. And I appreciate the prayers of that. Even pray with me as I teach this passage. Let's start in verse 2 in the passage. Mark 10, verse 2. I'm going to read this through and make some comments as we go. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Now again, that little phrase in there, tested him, it gives us a little insight again of the Pharisees. All of us who have studied God's Word know that these guys were here to destroy God's character, Jesus' character, and who He was, because He said many things that they were against. So at the very heart, here in this question, they really don't want to know the answer. They want to use it to trap Jesus, to get Him in a place where He will say something that people will come against Him. And in the Jewish law, there was division on this subject. Here's how Jesus answers it, verse 3. "What did Moses command you?" He replied. Again, interesting. That's what their whole weight was on, all the law and what Moses said. So they were willing to answer this quickly. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." Now they're quoting from Deuteronomy 24. And if you would go to Deuteronomy 24, you would read that Moses did permit a certificate of divorce to put your wife away. The scriptures in Deuteronomy doesn't give the full background of that context. And the Pharisees were never really willing or even able to understand God's heart in this subject. A little bit of history behind the scenes, what was going on then. And again, this is God's people. People who claim they believe in the one and true God. And when it came to marriage, men had the idea that they were superior. Women at times, even in the Jewish culture, was a piece of property. It's how many people treated women. And they just felt, because of selfishness, greed, and their own hearts, they could discard women at leisure. Even if the woman did something wrong as minimal as cooking wrong, they could put their wife away because of that. Now, hopefully, that your heart and my heart is that you can understand that is never God's intention. We're going to look into that. Jesus answers it this way. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law, Jesus replied. Things were so bad, I even read one commenter was saying that even some men were willing to kill their wives so that they could have, till death do us part, be part of that so they could remarry again. That's how hard their hearts are. And my prayer today is that you and I don't allow our hearts to get this way. If I could just share a little bit on what God means by when he says our hearts are hardened. Maybe a class of 101 on God saying hearts that are hardened. Each one of us are born into this world physically alive. But because of Adam and his sin, sin came and has destroyed the spiritual part of us. Every human being that is born spiritually with a heart that is hardened, a heart that is not interested in God and the things of God. If you could put up 1 Corinthians 2:14. Let me read this. When you and I are born, sin automatically, because of Adam, has entered our lives and has separated us from God. We are born in a state of separation from God. And here's what God says in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In our teaching over the past year or so, we have touched on this. I remember Tim teaching very vividly from Romans. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who seeks God. Why? Because we have dead hearts when we are born spiritually, not physically. And we don't have an interest in the things of God. That's how we are born. And it's only by God's grace, through creation, the Word tells us, that he lets us know there is a God, through people going to the mission field and declaring the gospel, through you and I telling the message of the gospel, that God uses his word to awaken hearts. I would say there's probably 100% of you that when you came to Christ, when you came to that point that by grace God awakened your heart and you believed that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, it was done by someone you know, someone you listen to, someone on the radio that you heard. God uses the gospel to awaken our hearts. And our hard hearts do not care about listening to God and the things of God. And we here want to preach God's word so we are touched by his word, so that our hearts are awakened to listen and to obey. Verse 5 in the text, chapter 10. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Interesting, the Pharisees were always interested in what Moses wrote in the law. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. They didn't want to really go back and see God's intent for what marriage is. Jesus brings them back to the beginning. And here's a place where God fills in the answers to Deuteronomy, which is really good for us to know. This is God's heart. Male and female joined together physically to form a union and a bond that would be powerful in our society. Marriage is God's creation. It's not ours. Every commentary that I read brought this into being. If you could put up Ephesians 5, 31. You see, this book is a narrative. It's a story. It's God's story. And he's telling his story in the midst of allowing us to see lives, many lives, that didn't follow God and his ways. And God knew that before the foundation of the world and prepared a plan and a purpose to redeem mankind. God created marriage not only to be the foundation of society that we live in, but to give us a picture of his heart for redeemed people. Listen to this explanation in Ephesians 5. A whole passage talking about husbands and wives and how God wants them to relate to each other. And he ends it this way, similar to what Jesus is saying in the passage in Mark. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery. But what I am talking about is Christ and the church. The mystery, the creation of marriage is wonderful and powerful. But God is illustrating from the very beginning that there will come a time that there will be a special marriage. A marriage where Christ will come and live and die and rise again to redeem a bride for himself. How would it be if Christ would come to the conclusion for you and I, that I don't want you anymore. I want a divorce and send you away. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, our Savior will never do that. He puts up with my sin and continues to love me in spite of who I am. And his Holy Spirit is working on my heart to continue to sanctify me and make me holy. This is God's purpose. How would we form a policy here at Hope on our position on divorce? I'm not going to be able to spell all this out this morning, but I want to tell you, even from our study that we did just this fall in Malachi, God makes the statement, "I hate divorce." I think that's a good place for us to start. And with all the pain, I'm not trying to bring guilt and shame upon you, but with all the pain that it encounters, we can see how God can hate this. This is part of who we are in a sinful world. How do we respond to this? I don't know much of the past in many of your lives. I don't know what role you played in divorce. I do know this. There are innocent parties in this the situation in life that happens. I would pray that as you've gone through this, that there's a time where you've looked at your own heart and possibly recognized that you played a role in this. And that if you have gone to God through Christ and have asked forgiveness, I want to tell you, forgiveness is available. How do I want to leave this message with you today? Because it is a hard and heavy subject. I want to leave you with hope. Jeremy, if you would turn to Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, God gives us some instruction about helping us understand what to do with our hearts if they're hard. Hebrews 3, starting with verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. That's a hard heart. That turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is something that we have to deal with every day with our hearts. My heart is deceitful. It tries to lie to me. And times I believe those lies, whether it's in the situation of marriage, family, friends, all the things I do in a normal day, there's voices out there that try to steal my heart. But thanks be to God that through Christ and my faith in the work that God has done, and your faith in the work that God has done, He comes and cleanses us and gives us a new heart. What I want us to do is encourage us this way. What has happened in the past has happened. It's the future, it's the now that's encouraging. We here at Hope, we think of the new marriages that have just taken place and some to be happening in the future. And we, with fear and trembling, encourage these young people to understand that Christ has to be the center of their marriage because of all the pulls of life. We have so much hope. You know, there's the story in the Gospels about the woman at the well. Do you remember how many times she was married? Five. Five times. And the woman, the man you're with now, is not your husband, according to God's intent. But even that situation, God was able to forgive. There's nothing that the cross cannot forgive except an unbelieving heart. So today, the message is this. What God says is wrong, we want to agree with. What God says is hurtful, we want to learn from. And no matter how entangled your situation is, God is able to make it right now. If there are things in the past that God has touched your heart with, even this morning, bring that to Him. God is a God who forgives. God is a God who is able to take hard, sinful situations and make it good, because He's such a forgiving, wonderful God. But we need to repent. We need to not try to hide things. We can bring them to the cross, and God will forgive them. Let me just pray. Father, it is my heart not to tread on tender hearts this morning, or hearts that have been hurt in the past. But it is my heart as well to give the message of your heart that you have never intended the beauty of marriage to encounter what it encounters, not only today, but so many things in the Old Testament that we see, people having thousands of wives, misusing the beauty of your creation because of our hard hearts. Help us to see that in Christ, every marriage here today can be beautiful, can bring glory to you if we allow you to. Don't allow those desperate times that we face, or those hard times, to make us think elsewhere, Lord. We need to think like you. Help us to have hearts that are willing to encounter the hard stuff and endure. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Where would we be without your grace? And I would ask that you would bring healing to marriages today, to anyone who's still experiencing wounds of the past, that they would bring them to you and ask your forgiveness. How we thank you for that, Lord. How we thank you for Christ and his sacrificial death for us. We are sinful people in need of you. And I just pray this and ask for great hope for the future, so that our hearts will not be hardened in any way, that we would follow you. Amen.